Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Real Madrid make another move for Kylian Mbappe and the Carabao Cup delivers some thrashings and a panenka. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 25th of August. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Welcome along, ladies and gentlemen, to Wednesday's Football Ramble. And welcome along, boys. Andy, Luke, good to see you both.
Hello.
How are you? You're looking very summery, Luke, in your floral shirt.
Maybe we'll get an Indian summer. Maybe we'll get a few more days of sunshine, because I feel like this summer's been a bit of a washout.
It's been shite.
Yeah.
Hasn't it? Where's the sun gone?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't feel like we've had a summer. We had like a little bit before the Euros, a little bit at the start of the Euros, and now It's just gone.
Summer's happening up north, I tell you.
Is it?
Yeah.
You enjoying your time up there?
Yeah, it's good.
Andy Brassell relocated to Newcastle.
How are the Newcastle fans? How's the mood up there?
Ask about the big market.
If they're not in a box, I've no idea. Yeah. I only know about things in boxes at the moment.
Oh, look, boys, let's talk about transfers. We're in the middle of this week. We've had the Carabao Cup last night, which we'll come on to a little bit later. But the biggest story that seems to be doing the rounds in the last 24 hours is this move for Kylian Mbappe. Real Madrid have come in, Andy, for another bid, 160 million euros. It seems utterly ridiculous to me that next year he could actually leave PSG for free and nothing's been done about this.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of layers to this. One, it's posturing from all sides. It's telling him that we really want you. It's telling the fans that Real Madrid are serious about winning stuff going forward. And it's really important to tell Mbappe that they do want him, even if he wants them to, because I think a lot of people look at it and say, well, you know, if they're into each other, why don't they just leave it to next year when the road is free and when they could save themselves all that money? I think there's a little bit of, what if he stays, plays with Messi and Neymar and really likes it and wins the Champions League? What if he realises that Real Madrid is just a facsimile of old Real Madrid and not the Real Madrid of his dreams?
But the way you're talking about it, the club being into the player being into the club, you are talking
like
about it like
story.
It's some kind of romantic love story. And a lot of people will say this is a great recent example of the horrendous excesses of the sport that's, you know, eating itself and it's become bloated and that Real Madrid have got all these problems, but yet they're still able to table these bids. But you're saying, no, it's like a football Romeo and Juliet, and we should all get behind the greatest love story of 2021.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I'm saying, Luke. I think the other thing is, it's an opening bid. It's only an opening bid because This is going to sound ridiculous because after what Jules said about 160 million euros for a player who's going to be out of contract and available for free next summer. But the thing is, it's actually not that much because the money aspect, the money aspect of it doesn't mean really anything to PSG. Because
it means something to Real Madrid, surely.
Yeah, it means something to Real Madrid. But from the PSG angle, their line all along has been, offer us what you want. It doesn't mean anything to us. And they're pretty much the only club in the world who can say that, who can say that nothing that you offer us can make it worth us giving arguably our best player to a potential Champions League rival, especially when we're still trying to convince him to stay. The other thing to recognise is the only add-on clause in the contract when he joined PSG from Monaco in the first place, 35 million euros, which is due A, if he gets sold, or B, if he signs a new contract.
Huh.
So if you chip off 35 million of that, it may be a lot to Real Madrid. It is a lot to Real Madrid at the moment. And that's before we get to the wages and signing on fee and all that sort of stuff. But actually, when you think of what PSG would actually be receiving of that 160 million euros, it's not that much more than they paid for Eden Hazard. And they'll be looking at that thinking, well, there's a massive gap in what they're worth. I think if they get up to 200 million, then they'll talk. But can Real Madrid get up to that point?
You talk about Champions League rivals, presumably based on all the talk we've seen around this, you mean Champions League group stage rivals, right? because you know, some of the chat's been outrageous, Jules, hasn't it? Like, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo's going to come in to replace him and they're going to play with Messi, Neymar and Cristiano Ronaldo up front. They will get beaten by any good team if they do that. Any good team would beat them.
But won't that happen anyway for PSG?
Well, possibly. Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of press in the front half of that team, is there?
Definitely not. What's the Premier League angle? Because I was listening to the radio this morning and Rick Edwards, who is a Liverpool fan, was presenting the Firefly Breakfast Show, and he said, you know, him and his Liverpool supporting mates were hoping that link that Kylian Mbappe's had with Liverpool would somehow come to fruition, particularly as he's available on a free next summer. But you're saying that's kind of fanciful
and,
now.
And you know what? The way Liverpool have done their transfers before, they tend to be quite clandestine with it, don't they? They never seem to kind of give away too much about who they want to sign, and then all of a sudden a deal
is done. Yeah, it's done.
It would be really surprising if he went anywhere but Real Madrid at this point. What I think is really interesting is the fact that our pal Lars Sivertsen and
I'm beating in FPL, by the way.
Yeah, still.
Actually, I haven't checked it this week. Should probably do that before I say that out loud on the ramble.
No one wins it in August, Jules.
Carry on, Andy.
He has been saying for a while that the talk in Norway is that Real Madrid are going for Haaland next summer as well.
Right.
And that they want to make that and that they want to combine the two.
I think you'd have
I think that would be really, really interesting.
Mbappe going to Real Madrid, it's like it would be like turning up at a dumpster fire. I mean, giving the fire hydrant straight away and saying you've got to put all that fire out on your own.
That's the thing.
However many months
from a sporting angle, it's quite difficult to sell it. It feels like he's almost indulging childhood him because. I guess you could argue, sporting project-wise, that PSG is the place to be. Having said that, to say it's an absolute shoo-in, because they're going the Galacticos route as well. I mean, we've just said, neither of us think they're going to win the Champions League.
No, it's like they're in this weird opposite world, Andy, where everything they do, PSG, is to get them closer to winning the Champions League, but the way that transpires, it takes them a step further away from the Champions League, every decision they make.
We talked about that before, didn't we?
Film Labyrinth.
With Juventus and Real Madrid, I was thinking more Temple of Doom.
No, I think
there's more booby traps with the Champions League.
A combination, because with Labyrinth, she always feels like she's getting closer to the castle, but she always makes a move and it kind of backfires and takes her further away from the castle. All I'm saying is, like, PSG think that Messi's Hoggle, but he's not Hoggle. He's not going to help him get closer to the Champions League. He's going to be like an evil Hoggle.
I
can't relate to this. I don't even know who Yoda is. I'm not going to try and get into Labyrinth chat right now.
Please tell me you don't know who Harrison Ford is.
If you've not watched the film Labyrinth, you shouldn't be fucking on the show.
Sorry?
Simple as that.
Shall I leave now? Shall I go? Shall I leave? Look, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, in June, Mbappe did an interview with Esquire, and it's been doing the rounds recently as well. It's kind of resurfaced after this kind of transfer speculation has come a bit more in the spotlight. His quote was, "The French league is not the best championship in the world, but I've always felt the responsibility to help the league grow." Now, has that now changed that Messi's there, Andy?
Yeah, has he done his bit?
Has he done his bit? Is he like, well, Messi can do the rest now?
Yeah, I think you could argue that. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of body language experts there who've been dissecting the first meeting between Ronaldo and Messi. Which is, I think, hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. It's like, yeah, there you go. You can have my locker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you mean Mbappe and Messi?
Did I not
say Ronaldo and Messi?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Oh, that was a Freudian slip.
I think we can all agree that watching, and I think the whole of France would probably agree, watching Kylian Mbappe, you know, do his bit to tear apart Brest in the league, and beat them 4-2 and smash it. It's really helping the league grow. I think the 130 odd goals he scored in 170 games for PSG, smashing them in against people who just aren't capable of keeping up with him.
No, but it's
really
helping,
helped the league grow.
It is helping the league
the
grow.
The green shoots.
It is helping the league grow because they're all-out commitment to attack allowed Brest to score twice.
True,
as you pointed out.
Very true.
It was an exciting.
I like the way you
it was an exciting
that.
Game. And I do.
Nothing helps a league grow like a Steve Mounier goal.
I think we do agree with that. I think it is quite funny though how people will say, "Well, you know, what's the point of him playing at you know Brest or Lorient, Dijon, who aren't even in the division anymore?"
The mugs.
I mean, exactly. And you think what is really the difference between that and Alaves and Cadiz and et cetera, et cetera.
Watford, Norwich. Yeah,
exactly. I think we all understand.
Glad
that,
you stopped there.
That the quality.
Brighton started really well. It's
I
annoying.
Know,
that the quality in any league diminishes below the top five, which Brighton are currently
in. Kylian himself called the Premier League a farmer's league, didn't he?
The
little clown emoji.
Was it? Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
No, he didn't call it that. He was responding to someone who called it that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
With
exactly.
a clown emoji.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, look, if he does go to Real Madrid and this does happen in this window, which, by the way, there's about, what, a week left or so, Richarlison is apparently being sized up as his replacement.
It's
Would
not,
that work?
It's not like Neymar to sign up his pals, is it? I mean, that sounds really quite far-fetched. I mean, I think it is worth reminding at this point that Richarlison, while they were having a bit of bants on Twitter, he accidentally exposed Neymar's mobile number to a load of viewers, didn't he?
Did he?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
well, you said expose. I'll be honest, I feared the worst. Phone number's not that bad.
Yeah, Neymar got like sort of 36,000 texts in like 2 minutes.
That's like Pete's unread email,
yeah, it
isn't
is.
It?
It is.
Which just upsets me so much.
It's like Pete on Tinder. 36,000 unread messages.
So has he had to change his number, I assume?
Well, you presume he changes it a lot anyway, right?
Well, call him now, and if it connects, we know he hasn't.
Yeah, did anyone jot it down?
The real question is, has Mbappe changed his number?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God. Well, if Mbappe doesn't go to Real Madrid and Ronaldo doesn't go to PSG, there are reports that Ronaldo's trying to engineer a move to Manchester City. I mean, this would be... I can't handle this transfer window. There's just too much going on with all these big players.
Can I say he would actually be much more useful for current Manchester City than Harry Kane? Certainly in the
really?
Immediate term.
Why do you think that?
I think because he's just an out-and-out penalty box player. I can't be the only person who's thought that if Manchester City sign Harry Kane, unless he plays very differently...
Yeah.
to how he plays for Spurs, there might be some fit issue. If I'm Pep Guardiola, I definitely don't want Harry Kane dropping into the De Bruyne position, which he's quite fond of doing.
Yeah, but some people would say that's because he's following tactical instructions, and some would say it's because he can't help himself, and it depends which one you mean.
Some would say Harry Kane does exactly what he likes and has done so for most of his Premier League career, despite being brilliant.
Do you think Gabriel Jesus is dealing well with the fact that he's now in the cast, now in the plot of The Sixth Sense?
I've seen that film.
No one even acknowledges that he's even alive. Like every bit of coverage about Man City, oh, they need a striker. Gabriel Jesus is sitting there thinking, why am I fucking invisible?
The funny thing is that
I play up front all the time.
Brazilian fans though will say he doesn't really want to be a striker. He's a winger, really, isn't he?
Yeah. He
has played as a striker of Man City a lot.
Yeah,
and everyone's completely forgotten it.
Yeah,
he has. But I think if you're going for the creme de la creme of penalty box players, you're getting 2 good years out of Cristiano Ronaldo. Can you imagine how many goals he would score for Manchester City?
Yeah, it'd be incredible. It would be incredible. I'd love to see. I mean, it'd also be...
Doesn't have to play every week.
Would it be one in the eye for Man United fans as well? Would they be fuming about it? Presumably they would.
Yeah. Yeah,
presumably.
I think so.
Yeah, so I can just see the welcome to Manchester banner now. Can't you?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, who needs Mbappe or Ronaldo when you've got Gareth Bale at Real Madrid? He, you know, back on the score sheet, Andy, got his first La Liga goal in almost 2 years at the weekend against Levante. And he's also been included in the Wales squad, despite a lot of speculation. Do you remember that really angry interview he did in Wales' final game where they asked him whether it was his last international match, and he stormed off, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he has been included in this most recent Wales squad for the international break that's coming up next week. I mean, I guess he's just got nothing better to do, has he, Luke? He might as well get involved, because based on his Q&A he did recently, it doesn't sound like he does much.
I mean, I'll be honest. I know not everyone listening will be au fait with how the editorial process works at a newspaper. I'm certainly not. But if it were down to me, and based on how I anticipate the editorial role at The Guardian being, I wouldn't have run it. I would have said, we're not publishing that, because it doesn't say anything and we're going to get absolute pelters for it.
I mean, the weird bit about it was that it's time to hashtag switch on.
Yeah, that's it. All right, so
who uses the word hashtag in conversation?
Let's explain this. So he was asked for his favourite word, which, by the way, is the stupidest question. No one has a favourite word. Do you have a favourite word? Don't answer that. He was asked if he had a favourite word, and he said, I prefer a phrase, apparently, it's time to hashtag switch on. No one says that.
Nah.
Like, that's absolutely ridiculous.
He also said this, also in the Q&A in The Guardian, as we mentioned, he said his favourite possession was a rowing machine. And I just think, I understand that you want to keep fit, and I understand it's really important to stay on top of your fitness and stuff because you're a professional athlete. But, I mean, I thought you were funny. Hasn't he got like two kids? I was thinking of some kind of like, you know, really, you know, sentimental kind of value thing. And he's like, he's basically, in my mind, he's answering that over email, if it is him. He's looking around his house. He's looked at his first kid, looked at his second, moved on, looked past all his awards. There she is, the rowing machine. Maybe he was doing it from the rowing machine and he couldn't think of anything else.
I reckon this is a banter interview and he thought, I'm going to put the worst possible answers I can put.
What do you mean? Like, it was like, was
taking the piss.
Was it the 98 World Cup where the England players had to get as many Phil Collins song titles into their interviews as possible?
A lot of people do that.
Love stuff like that.
The BBC, I'm pretty sure the BBC did that last summer. Or they certainly did it in the World Cup 2018.
Right.
Yeah, they do it when like there's been like a big event or something, or something's happened. I actually used to be, it was a bit naughty, I probably shouldn't admit this on a microphone, but when I worked on Shopping Channel...
Well, the Shopping Channel are going to come after you, are they?
Actually, to be fair, they've gone bust now, so they can't. So I can actually...
Well, you're living on the edge.
So I can actually tell this.
You are going to go out on a limb and slag off a Shopping Channel longer exists.
No, I'm not slagging them off. I'm telling you something I did that was naughty.
Okay,
on
go
air.
Ahead. Go on then.
So we used to, the camera crew would give us words, because they're really long shifts and they're really dull. They'd give us like words or phrases that we had to get into our next cell, and we would go on Urban Dictionary and pick really like things you shouldn't say on daytime TV and get them into the cells.
So they went
example?
Yeah.
I don't think I should repeat anything.
They went out of business probably due to the colossal the colossal legal bills they had to pay.
Absolutely not. Anyway, moving on. By the way, just to point out, I am beating Lars in FPL. How are you doing, Luke?
Not very well.
I'm top of the table at the moment.
I had 28 points on the bench last week.
Oh, who did you have? Reece James?
Basuma. Duffy.
Oops, Basuma.
Oh, did it
two Brighton players?
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been Duffy because he scored.
Duffy, yeah. Stinking.
Oh, and are you playing this year, Andy? Or have you given
up? I think
up?
I'm bottom.
Oh,
yeah.
It's good to beat Brassel.
That's how you know.
Even
that
if
when
he doesn't care.
People will listen to a lot of Andy's output. They'll see it on TV. They'll hear it on the radio. And they'll go, this man really knows what he's talking about. Does he really? Does he really?
If you don't know how to play FPL, you don't know anything about football.
Also, I didn't know it was possible to pick Burak Yilmaz for Premier League Fantasy League, but apparently it is.
I think, Jules, we're supposed to be going to a game on Sunday. I think I'm going to take you to watch Labyrinth instead.
No,
far more culturally impactful.
It'll be my first game of the season. It's only week three. I'm quite excited about that. Thanks.
It'll be
thanks for the invite.
A perilous journey to a really difficult building to look at and watch Labyrinth.
I'm most looking forward to the lunch more than anything.
Yeah.
Not your company.
No, fair enough.
Let's talk about Burnley's big signing then. They've had a £15 million bid for Lyon left-back Maxwell Cornet accepted by Lyon. Tell us a bit about him then, Andy.
Well, I think a lot of people will have seen him already because he had a huge role in that Lyon side that beat Manchester City in the Champions League quarterfinals in Lisbon the year before this one. He's a winger who got converted into a left back. dubious defensive capabilities. I think you really need him in a back three where he is committed to defending. He's just not the world's most natural defender. Exciting, loads of pace, can create stuff. I would be not... I'd be a little bit surprised if this move actually went through in the end.
Oh, really?
He's been hanging on for a rival bid from Hertha Berlin, who are also interested, but not offering as much money. Obviously, Leon being, well, just any selling club outside the Premier League, you want to take the Premier League offer because it's the best one out there. But I understand his agent has actually gone to meet Burnley, so maybe there's some thawing, which is obviously the effect of newly printed cash.
I feel like, you know, they're playing Leeds at home in the next game in the Premier League, Burnley. I've got a feeling they might really struggle this season.
Yeah.
I think I haven't been impressed at all with the start they've made.
Well, something's not been right upstairs there for quite a while, which maybe doesn't get examined in such great detail as if they were, I guess, a more sort of mediatastic club.
Yeah. I'm Team Klopp. I'm not actually. Because, you know, Dyche and
they've
Klopp...
They've had a little bit of a barney, haven't they?
Yeah.
Sean Dyche basically is a bit annoyed at Jurgen Klopp for labelling Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes' tactics as wrestling after their game on Saturday. This is a quote from Sean Dyche. He said, "Every manager has the right to have their say. He certainly had his. My disappointment is he's name-checking players. There's absolutely no need to do that." This happens every week. This isn't new.
Honestly, if I was Burnley manager and I had the Liverpool players, the Liverpool coach coming out and talking about my players by name, I would take that as an enormous compliment. And if I was one of those players, I would take that as an enormous compliment.
Where's the wrestling pro when we need him, Pete Donaldson?
I know, exactly.
You could ask whether it really was wrestling or not.
But this has been a kind of debate that's been ongoing for a very, very long time. I can even remember it happening when Arsene Wenger was managing Arsenal and Sam Allardyce was managing Bolton. And, you know, and it would be the same with Pulis at Stoke. Ultimately, the clubs who don't quite have the means of the bigger clubs need to get every advantage they can. They need to be physical. And I think, you know, the referee's key responsibility, first and foremost, is to ensure the safety of the players, but also he's got to implement the laws as well. And it's the referee's decision to decide what's acceptable and what isn't. And if you do something that's unacceptable to a big degree, you're gonna get sent off.
Also,
and that's an advantage for the other team.
Is part of this not Dyche's perception of what those words mean? I mean, it's not to say they're ineffective or they're not any good or they're not even good to watch. I mean, Wood and Barnes, when they're on it, are super fun, I think.
Yeah, I think I said this last season. It's definitely like a weird kind of beauty to the way Burnley at their best play. They're so on it. They're so kind of part of a wider team. They move so well. There's definitely a beauty to watching it when it's done well. I just don't think they're going to do it that well this season, personally.
This transfer might be actually one of my favourites of the window, though. The former Fiorentina player, Borja Valero, retired in June, but has now announced that he's actually back playing, but for a sixth-tier side called Centro Storico Lebowski. The way this all came about was a journalist posted a montage of him wearing the club's shirt completely as a joke. Literally, this was all a joke. But then it got back somehow to the player, to Valero. The club joked that they weren't interested. But then he thought, you know what? I quite fancy staying in Tuscany. So I'm going to go and sign for this club.
Sounds
lovely. So he signed for it.
Sounds lovely.
I love that.
I can't believe he's not a bowling team.
I was going to say, the pitch is like a rug.
What a great story.
Yeah.
That's what Messi should have done.
I don't know why.
Messi should have just gone and signed for a random club and not gone to PSG.
I don't know why a lot more players don't do this. Because Valero's like 36. He's probably going to be able to play for this team with his slippers on, you'd have thought, right? And, you know, he's done everything he wants to do in his career, you know? He started out at Real Madrid. You know, he's played for West Brom. You know, he's done everything he wants to do. Why not go and retire in that way or semi-retire? I don't think it's disrespectful to the great people at Lebowski to say that. Why don't more players do that? Go to a lovely part of the world like Tuscany is. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
I think the game of football would be a lot better as a place if people did that. I'd definitely do it.
I was just about to compare this to Glenn Murray retiring last year from Nottingham Forest and thinking, oh, he could go like to one of the non-league clubs in Sussex and go and play for Whitehawk. But then you compared it to Tuscany and I thought Whitehawk and Tuscany is quite a bit between the
also,
two.
That is like Nottingham Forest's main role in football now, just retiring players.
Yeah, we'll come on to them and their shocking start to the season after the break. More on the Carabao Cup. Plus, we answer some of your agony emails.
Thank you. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
In football, you've worked with and alongside some of the biggest names in the game, some of the biggest coaches you've come up against as well. Who's been your biggest influence in your coaching career?
I think myself.
Of course, it's Jose Mourinho. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It is a Wednesday. Andy and Luke here with me, Jules. And now it's time for this. They're reading out your email.
I love coming in off the back of that, that jingle. Nice little fade out as well. If you are going to send jingles in, do have a long fade out in them.
It's so nice to talk over the top of them.
Yeah,
isn't it?
So you can just feel like
feels
I'm a
professional.
Feel like I'm doing like a phone in. Yeah. Back when I was on the radio.
Get your emails into us then, guys. show@footballramble.com. You can tweet us as well at Football Ramble.
Yeah, this one's from Matthew Nugent, who says, my partner and I have a huge dilemma we need help with. Okay. We have moved into a lovely new apartment in the north side of Sydney, overlooking the beautiful and iconic Sydney Harbour Bridge.
He's just
emailing this in to show off, basically. however, he says, our balcony view to the bridge is disrupted by an overgrown, battered brown banana tree from the neighbour's yard. If Sam Allardyce was a tree, this is Big Sam. Do you have any recommendations on how to take down such a thing discreetly? Well, first and foremost, Matthew, I don't think you can just go into someone's garden and take their tree down, no matter how discreetly you are, because they're going to notice. They are going to notice. And my tactic would probably be, and this is something I've got a little bit of experience with, because there was a massive tree in the garden opposite ours. Our garden's back onto other garden.
Yep.
And this tree was dripping sap onto our deck, which is causing all sorts of problems. And it was far too big a tree. It was far too big a tree for the area, right? So I rallied around and said, I'll organise this, everyone, if you will all agree to chip in and we'll all pay and we'll get the tree taken down, right? So everyone agreed, and the person whose tree it was in the garden agreed.
Oh,
right?
They agreed?
Yeah,
I was going to say, I thought you asked everyone but them.
No, they wanted rid of it as well.
Right.
And then only one neighbour stumped up.
Ah, there's always one.
So I was saddled with like the 600 quid bill.
There's always one.
But we did get rid of the tree because we did it collaboratively. However, they just didn't pay, probably because they don't respect me.
See, that's a really sensible suggestion for Matthew, whereas I...
Go around there. No, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar, Jules. You'll go around there and befriend them.
I was going to say, Matthew, chip away at it slowly. One day, take one leaf. Yeah. Next day, get rid of another.
Are we talking about a really long axe?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking...
Oh, those extended fists.
Out of the balcony, yeah. Just chop little bit by little bit down. They'll never know.
They'll never know. I think your tree's dying.
Yeah.
Just say that.
Mate, have you seen your tree? You seen the state of it? Yeah. It's losing leaves every night. What's wrong with it?
I'm thinking fight fire with fire, tropical fruit with tropical fruit, throw a series of large pineapples at it until it falls over.
Get expensive,
it sounds a bit
though.
Mario Kart.
Yeah, it does a bit. But Matthew should maybe realise that he's not the centre of the world and that his view to a bridge maybe isn't as important as the flourishing of the natural order of things.
To be fair, Matthew, you should have checked this view before you moved into the flat.
Also true.
Yeah.
I know that Jules raised down with fire and fury on all of her neighbours if they even look at her. That she insists they refer to her as BT Sport on the football round. She's probably not the best person to be asking because she runs that neighbourhood with an iron fist, I'm telling you. They call her the pocket rocket up in wherever she lives. Where is it you live?
I'm not telling you.
Yeah, fair enough.
He ain't coming to my house.
We've got one from Dan. That's so aggressive. Yeah. We've got a less aggressive email from Dan Wilkinson, but only slightly though. On Saturday, I returned to Elland Road with Leeds, which was amazing.
Nice.
However, having been a season ticket holder a number of years now with my dad, we've begun to realise that the people behind us are miserable knobs. Unfortunately, in a Bielsa Leeds team where there is very little to complain about, they find a way to whinge. Mm. This is starting to affect how me and my dad enjoy the game. Any suggestions on what to do? Happy to follow your instructions blindly and let you know how it goes. Well,
find the biggest one and punch him right in the face.
Is that it? Wow, straight in there.
Show you mean business.
So wait, do these people sit behind them, do they?
Yeah.
I've got a solution.
Go on.
Fart. All the time.
You're assuming he's not doing that anyway.
Just literally let rip constantly. Have like loads of like really rich food before you go to a game. Make sure it's proper pongy.
I told you, where she lives is a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. There's me saying you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Maybe take some treats and only let them have the treats if they've not moaned. It's like positive reinforcement like you do with a dog or something. And then all of a sudden you'll know. They'll subconsciously been thinking... They won't even know because it's subconscious that they want the treats.
That costs money, that though.
But how much is it going to cost you to buy a packet?
It's free to fart. Get out of their gravestone.
But if you spend like £1.50 on a packet of, say, I don't know, Werther's Originals or something else that's difficult to chew and talk with the same time.
Good idea.
It just like gums their mouths up.
A solution from the Beano there, everyone. Andy's been reading the Beano before he came here.
I love a Werther's Original.
Well, what I would do is I would go to the tuck shop and get a large bag of them and then away you go.
Yeah.
Love it. I hope that's helped you out, Dan and Matthew. I really hope it has. And if anyone else has any dilemmas, please send them in to us every Wednesday. We'll try and answer them. They do not need to be football related. show@footballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble. Right, let's get on to last night's Carabao Cup, the League
Cup. Speaking of things that aren't football related.
It always tends to deliver, particularly in these early stages. Couple of thrashings in there. Aston Villa thrashed Barrow 6-0. But the real story from this game, I think, is Anwar El Ghazi, who scored a penalty in the Premier League at the weekend. We saw that. But he also scored a Panenka in this game against League Two Barrow and shushed the crowd when he made it 3-0. Yeah. How do you feel about this, Luke?
I feel like it's having a fight with a kid 5 years below you at school and then goading his parents. That's what I feel like. It's unnecessary, isn't it?
I think it is, but I also kind of like it because I think as a footballer, if I'm on penalties, I'd always really want to take a Panenka. And like, yes, it would be even more embarrassing to miss a Panenka to League Two Barrow than it would in the Premier League against, say, Manchester City, perhaps, even though there's probably more eyes on that one. But at least he can now say, I've scored a Panenka. Done. That's done for him now. He's done it.
Also, no one was behind that particular goal, were they?
No.
Like, I mean, it's not a bit with any fans because of the construction
count.
Of the stage. I'm saying, like, no one's going to, like, sort of freak you out or, like, put you off or anything like that. All you've got to do is do the keeper.
You're talking about construction at one end. There'll have to be construction at the other end because one of the Barrow strikers smashed a light out of the stand
amazing,
as well.
It
ended up swinging down the cable. And I think the fans were looking up at it like, geez, this is a bit dodgy.
See, I played cricket at a place once where if you hit one straight six from one end of the ground and it went onto the main road, that's fine, it's six. If you hit a second one, you're out because there was such a risk of it like damaging like
no
passing
way.
Buses and cars. You were actively discouraged from like hitting in that direction. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there's going to be some sort of small fine because for a club like that, it's like that could be taking out quite a lot of the money that you're getting paid for going on the telly against Aston Villa.
What, one strip light?
I tell you what, it's hand to mouth in League Two.
One strip light that needs to be screwed back in.
With all right, you go and do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go on then, Luke.
I'm not
offer
do
your
it
services.
I can't.
Barrow AFC, expect him tomorrow.
Barrow's like
he'll be there with his toolbox.
Barrow's
like
away.
It's like Northwest
ages,
Cumbria.
Yeah.
I'm actually going up to Cartmel in October.
Well, you're
so
there then.
If it's not fixed by then, let me know, Barrow, if you're listening. I'll pop down with a ladder and I'll have a look, but it's going to cost you.
That wasn't the only 6-0 win last night either. Norwich, who by the way only registered 3 shots on target in their first 2 Premier League games of this season, beat Bournemouth 6-0 as well. What result?
Yeah. And people are getting a bit angsty about Norwich, aren't they?
So I saw
a bit of punditry. I'm not going to name who it was.
It was on TalkSport, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Jamie O'Hara, who said that if, something along the lines of, if Norwich aren't going to take the Premier League seriously and put their hand in their pocket, they should be kicked out of the league.
I saw that as well.
What are you talking about? So I'm pleased that Norwich got a big win because it's a lovely club. It's a lovely city. I know I always say that, but it is. And it's great for them to get a big win against a South Coast club that isn't Portsmouth. Let's be perfectly clear about that.
And of course, like the fact that Josh Sargent scored a couple of goals will immediately make Norwich fans think we've had a good transfer window rather than we've signed a load of quite underwhelming players.
Yeah,
so,
agreed.
Yeah, good.
We should also mention that in the Villa game, actually, we forgot to mention that Cameron Archer scored a hat-trick for Aston Villa. He looked
very tidy.
Barrow are a League Two side. They deserve all the respect
still,
in the world.
Got to get off the mark.
But he
all the
he
respect that
well.
Anwar El Ghazi didn't show them.
Exactly, yes. But he looked very, very sharp. Very sharp.
Now, another team who have been struggling to score goals a bit of late, Wolves. They absolutely rinsed Nottingham Forest last night, 4-0 after having 40 shots without a goal. And Forest are really having a rotten time. That's really what this result is actually more about. They're bottom of the Championship table. They've lost all of their league games so far this season.
Yeah.
They then lost last night as well. And Chris Hughton is under a lot of pressure right now because it was...
Well, he's your football dad as well, so you must feel very sensitive about it.
I do. I love Chris Hughton so much. And I feel a bit for him, really, to be honest, because I think that the situation at Forest is tricky. He came in at a tricky time as well. But it was at this stage last season that the manager before him, Sabri Lamouchi, actually got sacked after 4 straight defeats.
Yeah.
I think Forest actually went another 3 games without a win after that before they managed to actually pick up their first result of the season. And at the weekend, Forest have got Derby. It couldn't get any bigger.
That'll be 2 bald men fighting over a comb. That's made that absolutely clear. Mm. That's going to be a shit show.
If good coaches are consistently not getting it done at a club, like Lamucci and Hughton, like maybe it's the club.
But that's what you've got to say, even
from a distance.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost certainly the case. I mean, they've got bigger problems. I mean, Evangelos Marinakis may well have bigger problems as well to come outside of football. But I mean, I read on the way in this morning, I hope I've got this right, that Nottingham Forest have signed 70 players since 2017, and they still look like they need a lot of strengthening.
Yeah.
Have they just been signing like human beings at random? Like, what is the policy? I don't mean players, I mean human beings at random, because the policy looks absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
To be frank.
I can't remember the number, Luke, but what you said there does ring a bell from, I mean, remember the start of last season. I think they brought in the most players of any other Championship side. It was a huge number of players that they actually brought in, and clearly nothing worked. So Andy, you make a good point there. If these two managers, and especially a manager of Chris Hughton's standard, who knows how to get a team promoted, who has done that, who took Brighton from literally relegation threatened in the relegation zone in the Championship up to the Premier League in a couple of seasons, I just don't understand what's going on there. There must be something that's not quite right.
Yeah, and that's certainly the case, that the impression that I get from Forrest's supporting friends. I mean, obviously, there's always a lot more sort of gravitas attached to it because they're a former European Cup winner. And, you know, it feels like a million years since they were in the Premier League now. On the plus side, our good friend Tom Whalley, I might get to spend the weekend with him when they come down and they play Wimbledon.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a lovely salve to his wound, Andy.
The amount of massive clubs that are in League One at the moment, it's just unreal.
No, I just mean him having to spend the afternoon with you. But Forest, the reasons to be cheerful about for Forest are that they've got some interesting young players. They've got Maiten, who plays on the left, who looks really interesting. They've got that kid on loan from Watford, Zinkanaga, who scored again.
Yeah, he's pretty good, actually.
Scored in the game against Blackburn, I think. But the problem is, you know, if you've got young players coming through at Forest and you can be excited about them, and that's obviously something that fans love, you're asking about whether they're in the right environment. Is it a great environment for them to be in, to be losing every game, every single week in their first foray into kind of professional top level football? It's probably not ideal. So it's a real problem.
Having said that, I don't think judging them on a Carabao Cup game against Premier League opposition is particularly productive. Even if Wolves did make some rotation, they still had a strong side out there. You think Trincao played, Podence played.
Yeah, but it's all the other games. Isn't it? It's a pattern there.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, it's just like the same. It's just contextual, isn't it? It's like Palace getting all this stick and Patrick Vieira getting all this stick for them going out to Watford. Mm. And the fact that Palace haven't done well in previous cups, in previous seasons, is being projected on him as well. And
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
The Wolves lineup isn't a million miles away at all from what they could field in the Premier League.
Yeah,
first
exactly.
And foremost, that's for sure. And Crystal Palace's record in cups is terrible. They haven't scored a goal for something like 2.5 years. Mm. So, of course, that's something that's been going on for a long while. And
that's a ridiculous record.
I just hope with Vieira, he's afforded the time that wasn't afforded to, say, Frank de Boer.
Well, interestingly, with Crystal Palace, is Patrick Vieira did actually play the same starting 11 that he played in the league at the weekend. As you've pointed out, Luke, they can't score goals in the League Cup. They also haven't scored a goal yet under Patrick Vieira this season. It's not going very well for them, which it's really unfortunate, isn't it?
Did you insist on having this in the running order?
Sorry, I didn't mean that.
And they go to West Ham in the Premier League next, which is going to be a tough ask based on what we've seen of West Ham, who look like they've just picked up where they left off last season.
Yeah, flying.
And Brighton were able to win last night.
Can I get an easy? Come on, you seagulls.
Brighton won last night, not fielding an outfield player that I'd ever heard of. Single one of their outfield players I've never heard of.
I'd barely heard of them either. It's phenomenal, really. What a start to the season. Two league victories, 100% record, scoring goals, winning in the cup.
Yeah.
I'm just going to milk it while I can, basically.
I think
this is the thing at Brighton is that, you know, I hate using the word project, but there has been this project that Graham Potter has been building, that the club have been building prior to Graham Potter as well. And then you can see it when you've got all of these young players that the academy and the training facilities down at the Brighton training ground are pretty amazing. I've worked down there before and it's quite special. So,
the best thing that's been grown down there is big Graham Potter's beard.
Graham Potter's beard is substantial and I am here for it.
It's like a carpet.
It's solid, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you're going to grow a beard, make it that.
So do you reckon this could become a thing? Like, you know, I'm not going to shave my beard or trim my beard until we lose in the Premier League.
And he didn't say that, did he?
I'm just imagining.
Right.
We get to March and Brighton atop and he looks like James Harden.
Yeah. And there's a tradition in Portsmouth, there always was. A lot of people wouldn't take their Christmas decorations down until Pompey got knocked out of the FA Cup. And
so it's not worth waiting the extra day.
Normally about January the 3rd. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, just a touch on Wimbledon, as I've talked about Brighton, and Luke's just mentioned Pompey there.
Already out of the Carabao Cup, so.
Brassel, happy with Wimbledon beating Northampton? I bet you are.
Yeah, they didn't play particularly well, but
doesn't matter, you got to win.
Exactly. In the Carabao Cup third round for the first time ever.
Ever?
Well, as AFC Wimbledon.
Wow.
So that's
very
that's,
good.
That's very exciting.
Have you been back to Plough Lane with fans?
I have. I went to the first game against Bolton, which was very emotional. I'm still buzzing off it, actually. It was absolutely incredible to actually.
How many does it hold?
9,300 at the moment, though three of the stands are semi-permanent. So if it all goes well, it could be expanded, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not really bothered about that at the moment. I don't think anyone is. It's just about being back home. Though it's tinged with a little bit of sadness because after that first game against Bolton, we heard about the sad and untimely death of Jack Lonergan, who is only 28 years old. I know a lot of people around the club who knew him. He was a big fan of the Ramble as well. So I just want to send a bit of love to his family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
lots of love. Andy, you're back tomorrow, aren't you?
I am. Sleeping in the studio.
Marcus and Jim are going to be here. We get to hear Jim's thoughts on Arsenal tonight in the Carabao Cup. That'll be fun.
I think we are all praying to the football gods for a certain outcome tonight. And I won't be... point out exactly what I mean, but I think you all know if you're listening.
I know. And Luke, I'll see you on Sunday. We've got a little date at the football, haven't we?
Yeah, we're going to the football on Sunday, you and I. We're going to go Spurs against Watford. And then, Andy, I think on the 7th of September, you and I are going to AFC Wimbledon against Pompey, aren't we? So that'll be good as well.
Lots to
look forward to in the football side of things.
Absolutely. As always. Well, guys, thank you very much for your company and thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bit of an emoji.
Sorry.
Here comes the hot stepper.
Here comes the hot stepper.
I didn't she walks into the club.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.